everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a feathery friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful peregrine falcon. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Solomon, Katie and Amos, Joseph, Peter, Luther, Landon, Lionel, Phoenix, Joseph Nesbitt, Max, Jason, and Camille. It is safe to say that this was one of the more requested episodes, and so I hope you all enjoy your very own. To help support the show's mission in helping people realize the wonder of animals while relaxing at the same time, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. You get access to an exclusive episode every single week, and you can even vote on the new official episode once a month. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description and you should check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If you are new, I welcome you with open arms to our animal podcast family. And if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on some hiking or running shoes, whichever you feel more comfortable. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. And my second encouragement to you is to realize, perhaps, where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head, in the legs, in the arms, the neck? Everybody here is different, but my exhortation to you is the same. Bring up some Jell-O in your mind, whatever flavor you like, and do your best to impersonate it. Simply become the Jell-O. It is also possible you don't know where you carry tension. If that is the case, you can start from the bottom of your feet in your mind and just work your way up through your body, relaxing as you go. First the feet, then the calves, then the legs, and up and up. For our adventures, we don't want to be stiff as a board, so this part is pretty important. And my final exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into the rocky open country where the peregrine falcon resides. So happy to be on this adventure with you. I have been waiting to learn about this animal for quite a while, and in these rocky parts, we are actually not too far from the shore. The peregrine falcon thrives in places like these. But while we are here, we could have been in a couple of different places. This falcon is actually the most widely distributed species of any bird of prey. They have populations on every single continent except for Antarctica. They, of course, are also absent on many oceanic islands, as it is quite rare for an animal to cover absolutely everywhere. But the point is that they are almost everywhere. There are 16 distinct subspecies of the peregrine falcon that are recognized today, and the scientific name for this bird is Falco peregrinus. In Latin, the word falx is a curved blade, a pruning hook, or some kind of sickle. It was even used to describe a war scythe. This is likely a reference to their sharp and curved beak. And the latter part of their scientific name, peregrinus, means one from abroad or coming from foreign parts. It is like a pilgrim falcon, And so, from their scientific name, we can deduce that this is an animal from abroad with a curved blade. We would have to learn later that this falx, or war scythe, or curved blade, is in reference to their beak, though they also have some pretty sharp talons. The reason the peregrine falcon is such a popular animal and why it is so well known is because of their speed. This animal is not only the world's fastest bird, it is the world's fastest animal, period. Their diving speed during flight can reach more than 186 miles an hour. That is over 300 kilometers an hour. It is so fast that it is almost cartoonishly fast. But one thing is for sure, they are built for speed and for predation. The reason the peregrine can reach such fantastic speeds is actually due to gravity. They will sit at a hunting stoop from heights of over 1 kilometer or 0.62 miles. They will spring off this hunting perch and tuck themselves in so they can dive through the air. Gravity does its thing and the falcon is just there for the ride. Their speed, of course, would allow us to deduce that they are carnivorous. They have no need to go 186 miles per hour if they are just eating grass. They can live up to 17 years in the wild on average. Their body will be between 14 to 19 inches in length, and their wingspan will be from between 3.3 to 3.6 feet. They will weigh only between 18.8 to 56.5 ounces. For those of us that don't really use ounces all that often, they will weigh on average below 3 pounds. That will put them somewhere in the range of a pineapple. One of the reasons we are in this rocky place is because they prefer wide open spaces. They thrive near coasts in which shorebirds are common, and they can be found from between deserts and tundras. That is to say that this creature can adapt quite well. They have even been seen to live on skyscrapers and bridges in major cities. They typically eat ducks, shorebirds, grebes, gulls, pigeons, and songbirds. They have also been observed eating bats, and they will even sometimes steal prey from another predator, things like rodents and fish. These falcons can nest up to 1,300 feet high, and sometimes even higher. To make this creature an even better hunter, they have some amazing eyesight. The vision of a peregrine falcon is about 8 times better than ours. They can spot pretty small prey from up to 2 miles away. That is seriously incredible. And one might wonder, how is it that they can fly at such high speeds without hurting their eyes? And they come equipped to answer this problem. They have 3 eyelids. The top and the bottom ones are white, and they have a 3rd eyelid that is a nictitating membrane. Say that 10 times fast. But this membrane protects and moistens their eyes. It's translucent, so as they fly very quickly, they can still see with this eyelid closed, and they also have protection from the harsh winds when they are going so fast. Their hearing is also good, but definitely not as strong as their eyesight. Vision is their primary means by which they hunt. If you remember that part of their scientific name, peregrinus, it means something like wandering. And one reason why they could be understood to be wandering birds is because during migration, peregrine falcons can travel huge distances. As an example, peregrines nesting in the Arctic are known to migrate to Central and South America during the wintertime. These birds can travel more than 15,500 miles in a single year. They are equipped with an awesome homing instinct that leads them straight back to their favorite spots. There are nesting sites that have been in continuous use for hundreds of years, occupied by perpetual generations of falcons. I think that is so cool. That is quite the long haul, and so we see why they can be understood as the wandering falcon. People have trained falcons for hunting for over 1,000 years. These are known as falconers. The peregrine falcon specifically has always been a favorite to falconers. We can definitely already see why this creature was such a favorite. The peregrine, as it is a very formidable predator, is not actually free from predation themselves. They are an apex predator, which means a predator at the top of the food chain, but this is when they are adults. When they are young, they are particularly vulnerable to the great horned owl, another awesome animal for us to cover in the future. In fact, it is due to predation by owls that has actually prevented the reestablishment of peregrines in many places that are outside urban areas. This creature is going so fast that it is not even the grip strength of the talons or they're using their beak. They will kill their prey instantly just by the powerful impact. One can imagine why. This is an object flying at over 240 miles an hour, close to 400 kilometers an hour, making a straight impact. I personally would rather not be hugged by somebody who is running at over 240 miles an hour, but that is just me. Now, let me tell you of a true story of Scarlet, the peregrine falcon. Scarlet was a peregrine falcon living on the 33rd floor of a skyscraper in a bustling city. She became famous through a webcam that streamed live footage of her nesting site. This live stream allowed bird enthusiasts and researchers to observe her daily life in real time. Each breeding season, people would watch online, captivated as she laid her eggs, diligently incubated them, and cared for her chicks. Her mate, a falcon named Justice, was her constant companion, and together they raised several broods of chicks, contributing to the recovery of their species. And in one particular year, Scarlet faced an extraordinary challenge. A severe storm hit the city with powerful winds and driving rain. People online saw as Scarlet shielded her chicks with her body, her feathers whipped by the howling winds, steadfast in her resolve to protect her offspring. Even though the wind was fierce, Scarlet's resilience was fiercer. Her chicks survived the storm, a testament to her strength and dedication as a mother. Her legacy lives on through the chicks she raised and the awareness she brought to the conservation of her species. This true story of a peregrine falcon named Scarlet is awesome. It gives us a real sense of the peregrine falcon. They are diligent predators and diligent parents. And how many peregrine falcons around the world have done exactly what Scarlet did? Scarlet was just the one that we could see, and it is stories like hers that inspire so many people as they learn about animals and increase in their love of them. And now, let us move on to the name of the animal. What does it mean, or where does it come from? First, the word peregrine, which describes a large, spirited falcon, was used as early as the 1550s. We got it from French, which actually gets it from Latin, and the Latin word simply means abroad. On the other hand, falcon, we have used this word since the mid-13th century, and as we learned earlier, reaches back to the Latin word falx, which is a curved blade, a pruning hook, a war scythe, etc. And now, let us move to the dad joke portion of the episode. You guys love it because it reduces my spirits to ash, and so let us continue. Check this out. What did one falcon say to the other that loved to sing? You're talented. I filtered through over 100 different jokes, and this was the only one that did not make my eyes water. that should be saying a lot. And now I'm going to interact with some of your Spotify Q&A responses. On the last episode, I asked this. Make up an animal that is two different animals, its name, and why it'd be cool. I have to say that this was tremendously difficult to only pick three, but Gemglow wrote, a hybrid spider octopus called an octarachnid. It spins webs both underwater and on land, and needs to stay moist to survive. Imagine an even more extreme version of color-changing crab spiders. Actually, I don't think I want to imagine that. I mean, the creature sounds pretty awesome, but if I was walking around in Australia, as we often do on the show, and I saw such a creature, like an octarachnid, I would leave by swimming. I'm not waiting for no plane. But wait, I have just thought that your octarachnid also exists in the water. There is no escape. Maddie wrote, butter bear. A butterfly and a bear hybrid. A bear with tiny butterfly wings. The wings are virtually useless, but they are used to attract a mate. It's cool just because I think it'd be cute. Now this is what I'm talking about. I mean, a grizzly bear with little tiny butterfly wings wouldn't stop it from mauling something, but at least the mauler would be a little cute, I guess. I like that it's still just a bear. Moon Rose wrote, ant and elephant. So there'd be the behavior and colonies of the ants with tunnels, etc., but they're as big as an elephant, so elephants. How dare you secretly insert a dad joke? But Moonrose continues, we could use them to create an underworld system for humans. The little movie I have in my head of elephants walking around and digging like ants is just chaos. This is again something that sounds like a good idea because elephants, I mean, come on. But I both love and hate this idea. Alright, let me make my own personal contribution that will be, of course, perfect. I have to throw in my favorite orangutan in here, and I'm gonna mix that up with an orb weaver spider. Hear me out. It's basically Spider-Man, but orange and monkey. This would most certainly be unsettling, and I don't think anyone would ever read such a comic, The Orangutider. I'm pretty sure Marvel would just have to close up shop after making something like that. But you are welcome for that image of the orangutider. Now let us move on to a short and sweet review by Elissa on Apple Podcasts, writing all the way from the United States of America. It might also be pronounced Elisa, but regardless, Elissa writes, I could not give a podcast a higher endorsement. Short, sweet, that could be on the back of a book. When I make the Orangutider comic book series, Alyssa, I'm going to need that on the back of it. I could not give Orangutider a higher endorsement. That's going to be on billboards for the new Orangutider movie. Actually, what would Orangutider Man even be? What does the orangutan really give him? Does he just turn orange? You know what? Let's not take my brain there. If you would like to request an animal for the show, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and going to the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, feel free to send me an email at relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can go to Instagram and go to the account relaxwithanimalfacts and send me a message there. And learning about animals once a week is not nearly enough, and that's why I encourage you to come join me on the Patreon. For only a dollar a month, you can join me four more times a month, so I'll see you there. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description. The facts used in this episode came from allaboutbirds.org, Audubon.org, Britannica.com, and NationalGeographic.com. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. The fastest animal on planet Earth. And not necessarily just because of their anatomy or their physiology, but with the help of good old gravity. I am so happy that I finally got to learn about this creature with you, and I look forward to the next adventure together with the next animal. Take care.